With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we... I'm going to say come up with five.
All right.
Sketch ideas.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool.
You good with this?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give it a go.
I know we always agreed from the beginning that we would do 150 episodes where we came up with five sketch ideas, and then we'd do something different. But then I thought, maybe, let's do something different and do something the same.
Because that's different to what we were planning.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's plans change.
And you know what? It's nice to mix it up a little bit.
It is.
Yeah. Andy, you know, like, how...
Oh, yes.
Within the, you know, like, in your life, you can basically do whatever you want.
That is one of the privileges that we are afforded by the miraculous gift of freedom.
And existence.
And existence.
But, we don't really take advantage of that.
To its fullest
extent. Not even just like that it's to its fullest, but almost not even 5%.
You're right.
The rhythm of what we stick to is probably, if you were graphing what you did.
Mm-hmm. How much stuff do you do in a day that is different?
Yeah, it's, right? You know, you're doing variations on the same thing.
You get up out of bed. Already, that's, you're just treading through the same old groove.
Yeah, that's right. You went to bed, that's another...
Exactly. You've already set yourself on the path when you went to bed. Mm-hmm. That was your first mistake.
Yeah. Eating. I mean, like, you know, obviously eating is going to be...
With your mouth.
Yeah, with your mouth. You know, it's going to be... I mean, somebody posted a photo today on Twitter to us about skin yogurt and suggested that it was our idea.
I looked at that image for a while and I still couldn't work out what it was. Fast acting, was it? Easily absorbed skin yogurt? I didn't know if it was a thing you put on your skin or in your skin, or it could well be made out of skin.
For me, it felt like a good idea.
And it acts in some other way that has got nothing to do with you or your skin. It just happens to be made from skin.
It was
like, you know, in, like a belt.
It was Daniel Kay.
Daniel Kay. Of course it was Daniel Kay.
Daniel Kay, who always suggests that we do something about sex toy ideas.
I think you're stereotyping him.
Well, look, and I think he wants to be stereotyped
that way. He's only
done that
four or five times.
That's right.
In our limited history of interaction.
he enjoys knowing about things that go in and out of other things.
And we just like to put that out there as a service because we know that in whatever like life you're living, whatever relationships you're involved in, business or otherwise, it can be hard to find somebody in your life to tell to talk about sex toys.
That's right.
And if you need someone to play that role, we can be that.
We can absolutely be that. I think that we could do 150 episodes.
Yes.
That was unbelievable.
Was that my phone?
That sounded like it was coming from inside my ears.
But I mean, it wasn't. I don't think it was my phone.
No?
There's no notification.
There's no notification on my thing. I think that came from our headphones.
Okay, yeah, that's fascinating.
Well, I don't know. Wow.
Maybe nobody else heard that, Alistair.
You think that was just us?
Just you and me. We had a unique experience that no one else in the world has ever had.
Mm.
And it'll bring us closer together. Sort of, we can't share that with anyone. We can't,
like in the movie Phenomenon, when he sees that comet or that flash or whatever, he gets hit to the ground, and it's a tumor, really, what it was. I think I don't want to ruin Phenomenon, but it gives him amazing powers for a while. I think he can spin a spoon without touching it.
But can he really though, or does he just think he can?
No, he can.
No, he can. He actually can.
You know, it's one of those movies that plays with the idea. I don't think they mention it, but I think it plays with that idea. It's like, oh, it unlocks parts of the brain that we can't access.
Ah, sure. Spinning, right? The spoon spinning part.
Sort of like that like a, it's like Inherited Savant or whatever, but it's not that one. Anyway.
For sure.
So wait, to finish a couple of loose ends, I want to say...
I don't believe there are any.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. So finish this first one. Yeah. What just happened to us is we just had the first occurrence of a dual tumor growth that happened spontaneous coupled tumor growth,
mm-hmm.
growth that will give us the inability to speak properly.
Right, it's already kicking in.
It's kicking in, and it's giving me a pretty good rush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really exciting.
And I wasn't speaking properly. By that I meant pain.
Pain and depression.
Yeah, and depression. Okay, so that's that thread.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was the thread about, I was talking about the, I thought that we could do 150 episodes of a podcast that is exclusively about sex toy ideas. That was that sentence that I was trying to finish as we were getting that, as that tumor hit our heads.
I reckon we don't need to do a new podcast. I think we just go back through all the old all these podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And we just edit in, and then you put it up your butt. At the end of every...
Like the guy who would run from town to town because he was the one man for all these women, and he would, you know, it was just a society in which one guy has all the women.
Yep.
And I, by has, I mean, like, I don't mean like he owns them in any regard. I just mean culturally.
They belong to him.
I mean culturally, that's what they want as well.
It's okay because they don't. They want it.
That's yeah.
They don't want any different. They don't know.
And they have
any
agency,
better.
But it's that.
But they choose to use that agency
to want to be with him. They just want to be with the best guy, and he's a nice guy. He really makes an effort.
I mean, there probably is one guy who's the best, and from that point of view, it makes sense.
Yeah.
That everyone should be in a relationship with that guy. Especially if he's bi, that'd be great.
Yeah.
If he's bi and poly, and there's one guy, and surely everyone in the world would agree that you want to be in a relationship with the best person you can be in a relationship with.
He would have to be bi and poly, but also be happy with spending a date with someone and then never seeing them again as he cycles through everyone in the world.
Sure.
But you're in a relationship with him.
Probably still a bit of text action, though.
Oh, of course. He's still got a bit of time for text.
Yeah.
And you would, every text, I think you would have to text him your photo just to remind him who you are.
I'm sure. But he's such a good guy, he'd remember.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Or at least he would pretend.
I'm sure there's some way that we can do this with social media. Mm. And there must be a way that we can set it all up so that we're all... You know, we all stay in touch sufficiently to feel like we're getting what we need out of this relationship.
Yeah, but I think in terms of the sex part, that's the part where I feel like he may not be able to provide for everybody.
Again, I feel like technology can absolutely solve this. We'll all have some sort of like nodule in our house, which is digitally connected to some sort of control center where him or one of his assistants, because he probably has a few, who can sort of control it. But very much on his instructions and according to the sort of the lovemaking principles that he has laid down.
But the problem with him having assistants, but him also being in a relationship with everybody, is that now he's sleeping with his employees.
You're right.
And that's not the kind of thing a good guy would do.
I don't want to be in a relationship with that kind of guy. Okay. Well, then it's an algorithm.
Oh, right. Yeah. So is he sleeping with the algorithm?
I mean, if the algorithm is intelligent enough to be that good a lovemaker on his behalf, maybe it's also intelligent enough to want a piece.
I guess that if he was doing this, say, maintaining a sexual relationship with everyone else in the world, right, it would probably be a nodule. You're right.
Yeah.
100% with that. I would say...
I think it might glow.
It would glow. Probably would have a sucky cup thing on the underside that you stick to a wall.
Okay, great.
And then... but I don't know if it would just be just a penis. Would it be a penis? I guess it could be a penis, but also kind of an arm one. You know, like it's got an arm. It's okay. It's three.
It's a penis, but it's got a hand on the end.
I mean, it would be less expensive.
I feel but like it I think, sort of opens up. No, it's but, flexible. It's...
No, but look, I mean, look, that's good. That's good. but what if, okay, so it's one's a penis, okay, and it's stick that to the wall.
Yeah.
Suction cup it to the wall.
Great.
Right? But then he's got two of them that are arms that you suction cup to the wall a little bit higher up so that, because he would cuddle. He, great. Above all else, he would cuddle. And his,
you know what,
his this wall nodule be... dildo thing would be flaccid most of the time.
Of course.
And then only at the appropriate time would it grow.
And I think, by the way, that wall, that could be one of those LED, like a light wall, like a digital mm-hmm. screen.
Yeah.
And then you can see everything. It's just got arms that so stick out. And it's perfect.
So wait, like the LED, is it just because it'll make nice patterns? Or?
No, it's like a screen. It's got his face and stuff.
Got his face and stuff like that. Yeah. And I think maybe whenever he says... Like back in his room where he's being filmed, doing this.
It's just occurring to me all the various sexualities that we are totally invalidating by saying that everybody's in a sexual relationship with this man.
Well, we're invalidating it, but we're also invalidating monogamy. I mean, or you know, any of these kind of things because
that's true.
Because everybody is just with this guy.
Well, can we say then that it's not a guy? That it is like some sort of pansexual being as well.
Andy, I think that's better. Would you feel more comfortable if I told you that it was an orb?
I mean, I'm starting to think that maybe it's an orb.
Mm. Yeah.
And maybe it's come down from space.
And then the parts that you stick onto the wall,
yeah.
right, with the suction cups, that they're actually, they come out of the Amazon box that you get them out
correct,
of.
Correct.
They yeah. come out... exactly as the thing that you want that person to the orb to be.
Beautiful.
Yeah?
Yeah, like big hands.
Yeah.
Small, rough.
And I want you to know that I'm picturing an hairy. Orb. I'm picturing an orb, right? Mm. But the orb has arms and legs.
Great.
So it doesn't look that dissimilar from like the M&M, one of the M&M guys.
What I love about this is that there's no body type that's been put onto that, you know, that the orb... that we've all transcended the sort of manipulated perceptions
mm-hmm.
of what is physical beauty to
yeah.
all be able to I love this orb, and it feels like it's made us all better people.
Absolutely. Mm. I mean, it is being an able-bodied thing, so maybe that's not offensive to the people who are in a relationship with him because they're yeah. you know he's with them and they're not necessarily able-bodied.
Now what I'm interested in
yeah.
is the point at which we realize that the orb is a sex addict.
Sure.
And it's crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's still such a great orb
and
we all love the orb and we still like, but we've realized that like in a way it is not normal for it to want to be in this many relationships simultaneously.
Sure, but it's also not normal for everybody to want to be in a relationship with
so who are them. We to judge?
But I definitely think that there's a scandal that occurs.
Yeah, great.
Right? Because look, so and I think maybe it's like an inside look. Somebody's taken a dash cam from their house. Mm. I don't know, from their car. I don't know why. But yep. they've dropped it into his window. They threw it up in his window while he was airing out the bedroom.
Mm.
Right? And it landed perfect. It's like, you know, it's kind of a bit hidden, but it gets perfect shot of where he does the sex, where his sex wall is, right? And you see the behind the scenes of it.
What's really going on.
You know, and you see him saying, like, you know, because he has to find ways. Sorry, it. I'm so sorry. It has to find ways of, you know, of making generic statements, but that get...
translated or interpreted.
Interpreted by the algorithm, which yep. is his partner in mm-hmm. love. As so he says, "Oh, I love your name." You know, maybe he might say that.
But do you feel like that's the scandal, or do we feel like everyone's okay with that because that's just the reality of what it takes to have a working relationship with the orb?
I apologize that I made that seem like that's what the scandal was.
Yeah.
I was just trying to set up some of the color. I think that should be some, there should be a bigger scandal.
Yeah, great.
But I think the fact that you could make it seem like it's a, maybe they are a sex addict.
Well, it's also possible that like, you know, the orb is in a relationship with, let's say, 8 billion
people
in the world.
Yeah.
And then, but then, but not, and we all know about that and we're all fine with it.
Yeah.
And then we find out that it's also in a relationship with one more person that it didn't
tell us about. I think that's perfect. I think, and but, we, but in person.
Yeah.
Who comes into the room.
Oh, wow.
You know, and that's what we get from the dash cam that's in the room.
Yeah.
It's not a spy cam, by the way. It is a dash cam. It was built for dashes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, and then it's all on the
and
news.
Then, I guess we're all so angry. Do we come and we just tear it apart?
The orb?
Yeah. Or do we all sort of get together and sort of hold the orb and weep?
I think we want to hang it out to dry in the media.
Is it wet?
It's a wet orb. It's a big sponge. A lot of people think that the orb is either just light or like kind of like a pearl, but it's actually a porous kind of spongy thing.
Right.
And when you squeeze it, its eggs come out.
I love it.
Yeah.
So it's like it's a got quite human-like arms and legs.
Yeah, but it's sort of somewhere between like it actually comes from coral.
Mm. Okay.
But
I think I'd loved the early stages of when everyone, when not everyone's, just a few people in a relationship with the orb, but like I feel like it's all word of mouth that gets around.
Mm.
Like the orb doesn't do any. It's not sort of unnatural that people wind up in a relationship. They just hear about how great the orb is, and then more people want to be in a relationship with the orb.
Yeah, and they're all okay with it because it's just it's equal. They discuss exactly what it is. You know, they know that everybody, their physical relationship and everything is all just through this wall, right? And texting, obviously.
Yeah.
Right.
Great texting, late but, night.
And they all went into this agreeing that it was that they were going to do it through communicating properly.
Yes.
So then, when somebody crossed the boundaries and started seeing this orb in person, it was too much.
Yeah. Yeah, and then but then like I don't know. I guess the whole world would move on, and we'd just talk about it like, how weird was it when we were all in a relationship with the orb?
With the legged, the armed and belegged orb. Yeah.
And then maybe the orb has kind of like a crash, like its life doesn't go so great after that, sort of Charlie Sheen styles, where like we start to see about in the orb in like tabloids and stuff, and everybody's worried about the orb, but also it's just like,
yeah, it keeps pouring alcohol over its spongy, porous body like that. And then it does a speaking tour.
Yeah.
And a speaking tour is kind of just sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then at some point, you know, but also all of society would kind of go through a mourning period themselves where they kind of maybe would drink heavily and...
Oh, man, that'd be the worst if everyone in the world was going through the same breakup.
Yeah, but then everybody would be like, oh, I just hooked up with a rebound.
Rebound,
right. Like maybe some other kind cone. Of ball, some other kind of ball. Yeah, maybe a cone, a good kind of conular person.
Conular. Who's to say?
Well, I feel like you are.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That's great, Al. It's a fantastic arc. It's a whole episode.
Oh, absolutely. I think we wouldn't have to record any other sketches for that.
That episode. Yeah, that's a relief.
Yeah.
There's also the angle that you could find out that the orb is just a filthy man hiding inside the orb.
It's the kind of thing everybody in the world got catfished. We all got catfished.
We all thought we were in a relationship with an orb.
Turns out it was a creepy old man,
an ageless, perfectly spherical, spongy orb.
No, turns out it was a guy in his 60s.
I knew it was too good to be true.
Yeah, and he had an unhealthy relationship with his mother.
Yep, and we all sent it a lot of money.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, but there are some... No, I shouldn't go down this.
You know what's good, though, about dating an orb?
Yes, tell me.
Is that...
I mean, obviously everything, but...
You know, like, even... Because if you're Skyping with it or whatever...
Mm.
Because it doesn't have a face, you never know when it's not paying attention.
That's great. You know?
And I think that's
probably one of the ways it was able to keep this all going for so long.
So you could never tell when it was looking at its phone.
Or texting somebody else.
You know, it was probably doing. It's probably had a whole series of screens in there or whatever. I don't know. Maybe the the orb itself, the sponginess. It's just a whole network of sort of nerves and fibers, and they're all perception nerves, and you know, and so
it's so perceptive,
like fiber optics and things like that. So you know, it can see through every sphere, through every little end point, you know, and feel and different things like that. So that's also why it's so sensitive and why everybody loves it so much.
Yeah, I think maybe the orb. I want a picture that the orb wears clothes. I know that doesn't make sense with what you just said, but it wears some kind of weird spherical clothing thing.
And look,
just
I think
so that when we see over the fence with the dash cam, and it is a dash cam, not a spy cam.
No, absolutely. It's I think the dash cam has been thrown into the room.
Thrown into the room. It's there in the yard.
And it's just like a normal room.
We see in the background, whoever its lover is, its physical lover, coming out from the bedroom, wearing the orb's perfectly spherical
clothes. I think that's good. Yeah, and it could just
that's
be like
how you know in the movie. That's always the giveaway that they've had sex, is that the person is wearing their
clothes,
their baggy t-shirt or something like that, and you're like, oh no,
yeah,
damn you.
Yeah, no, it's never
the wedding singer.
Yeah,
that's never my only example.
Well, that's cool. Wasn't there that French film you're talking about that? Was it like a Foucault or like not a Foucault? Like
I think I made that one up.
A Truffaut or whatever, someone with a long t-shirt. Maybe that exact shirt you're wearing.
The shirt I'm wearing right now. I'm wearing my French girlfriend French girlfriend shirt.
Yeah,
it's just my denim shirt that's just slightly too long.
Yeah, and so that a French girl in a French movie might wear it, and then it covers her underpants mostly.
Yeah, if she is wearing underpants.
That's right, we don't know at this point.
Maybe it covers it enough so that we don't even need to know.
The question goes unanswered, and that's what it makes.
It's like a philosophical thing. It's much more, much along the tree in the forest.
Yeah. It's a sort of a question that was first asked in Scotland.
Right.
About people wearing kilts.
Mm. Yeah. In trees and forests.
So like I was saying, we don't really take advantage of all the freedom that we have in a day.
Yeah.
And I think that part of that is probably just for comfort reasons, because it's just so easy to find stuff that you like and quickly power through all the stuff that you don't like, get it all done so that you can go back to doing things that you just like rather than having to try things that are new. Which you could either like or not like, and so there's a risk there, you know.
But surely the reason to do things the same way that you've always done them is for reasons of efficiency, because that allows you to do those things quicker, right? With less decision making, and maybe if there's unpleasant things, get them out of the way, right? And then get on to the free time, which is totally new things that you've never done before, ever, which are a total shock to your system.
Well, I mean, that would be a great way if we were adding that exploratory part to our lives, but I don't think we're doing that much. What's a new thing that you tried this week?
New thing that I tried this week? No, can't think of anything.
You know?
Nothing.
You're going to have a new kid soon? That's already something you've already done.
To be fair to me, it is Monday.
Yeah, no, but let's say, you know, I'm just thinking about that 7-day cycle.
Oh, you're thinking of a 7-day period.
Yeah.
Sure, well, you should have said 7-day period. Oh, I did heaps of new stuff over the 7-day period.
Yeah.
Yeah, calling it a 7-day period, that's one. I could go on, but I won't.
What I'm trying to say is that I think maybe it's hard whilst we're in this comfort groove, right, to make the most out of life.
Yeah, so what do you think we need, like a good war or something, or maybe a famine? Oh, God. Fingers crossed, both.
Well, I haven't. Look, I've been part of many countries, or at least two countries, that have been in wars. I haven't been in one myself, but you know. But I guess if I was looking to do new things, I don't know. It just feels like. Do you think there's a philosophical rationale here for forcing new things upon people?
Yeah, well, I think there absolutely is. I think it's like Google, you know. Google's really encouraging its employees to take up their own pet projects and dedicate, was it something like 20% of their time or 10% or 5% or 1% or none?
Yeah.
I don't know or care. To developing their own new and novel projects, which may or may not generate revenue for the company. Now, what I'm saying, Alistair, is that maybe the government could implement a similar thing for all of the citizens.
Sure.
But then, if we want to be a truly innovative country,
yeah,
We every individual needs to be pushing themselves to innovate.
Yeah, but I think also there's an aspect in which we can't be completely in charge of it. Because first of all, when we're in charge of our lives, we go towards things that are familiar.
Yeah, but you won't be allowed to because they'll shoot you or put you in prison.
See, I like this. But also, maybe they should hand in things. Because I think people are going to find workarounds. Mm. They're going to find ways of doing the thing that is the minimum amount of different.
Sure, sure.
So that, you know, like you go, you'll find out that like, oh, actually, the algorithm doesn't shoot me like this. You know how like it sends off some drone to follow you with a shotgun attached to it. And it's that drone with the shotgun shoots you unless you do something new.
Yeah.
You notice that the, you know, and maybe there's just like a, there's like a three bars of displeasure on the drone.
Mm.
So if you go and try to do something new, you can see by how displeased it becomes whether or not that it considers it a new thing for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then you go and like, let's say you're like, well, I normally sit down on a chair, but it's a blue chair. So maybe if I sit on an orange chair and you check it out and you look at the drone and it goes, and it doesn't seem displeased at all and it considers that to be a new thing. And you're like, great. Well, all we got to do is just sit on different colored chairs.
And there's so many different colors. Maybe I can just get a chair that changes color.
Exactly.
You wouldn't notice.
And then that's something that Panasonic or Samsung would start releasing is just color changing chairs, you know, all 3 million colors. And then suddenly you're like.
And it's like, trick the drone.
Yeah.
Color changing chairs from Panasonic. And
exactly.
Then you can just go about your routine on your color changing chair.
So for that reason, I think that there would probably have to be some government distributed new experiences that you would just be forced to do. Maybe the drone just comes and picks you up by the scruff of your shirt like that, and then kind of carries you to a waterfall, and then it says, now sleep in the waterfall, like that. It's a new experience.
That's good. It's kind of a bit like it's like a lucky dip or something like that, but for everyone, and mandated. Or it's like a loot crate, you know, those people who send out the box full of like pop culture stuff.
Yeah.
But in that one, they do it like by working out all the things that you like.
Yeah.
Right. By having you fill out a survey and then send you stuff that like is sort of in the area of things that you like.
Yeah.
Like a figurine of Han Solo.
Yeah.
But this is the opposite.
Yeah,
right?
Great.
You fill in all the stuff that you like and all the things that are your favorite stuff that you do and your routines and like what makes you happy. And then it sends you something that you probably have never seen or if you did would hate it.
Yeah, great. So let's say you're a big kayaker.
Yeah.
It would force you to sort of put freshly made like fettuccine up through your nose and just see. And then do that thing where it goes around the back of your thing and into your mouth, and you do that thing where you pull it back and forward through your nostril and your mouth,
like a soaring.
And motion. It wouldn't be that good because fresh pasta kind of has that dust on it. It has like that flour
so you're
dust.
Sneezing,
so you're like, that's true.
Probably
that's
bleeding as well from because like when you say fresh, do you mean soft or is it just?
Yeah, it's soft. Like some guy has just made it, and that was a thing that he was forced to do by the government because he loves gaming, right? Right, and so then he was made to make that, and then you came around.
This is a very two in the think tank idea, Alistair. I love it. Yeah, it's.
But this is to help people live more, like.
Sure. Oh, sure.
Lead richer lives.
Well, it's a little bit like. Also, to draw another analogy, because I'm doing them constantly, it's a bit like that bit in Fight Club where they get that guy and they point the gun at him in the 7-Eleven or whatever, and say, "You're going to go to university and be a vet." It's like that. But not necessarily with things that you wanted to do, because he wanted to be a vet, so it's a little bit different to that, isn't it?
Yeah, but I guess it would be cool, like, it would be like going
to
that
guy. You
might
find something that you want to do, though.
Well, exactly, yeah.
You might find that you love having pasta through your nose.
And then once you realize that, the government will never allow you to do that again. No.
That's the thing, you've now got all the time, you can fit that into your daily
routine. Well, that's
true, because
this is only like 20% of your time or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it might only be once a week, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe once a week, it's a government-mandated new experience.
And I think it's great once we have, once there are more robots doing jobs, people are less gainfully employed in repetitive manual tasks. Those are the things that are being automated, are all those repetitive things.
Exactly.
Right? What can you never automate? The horror of the new.
Yeah, exactly. You can't automate that.
And like a robot, you can't.
I mean, there will have to be a robot that picks
the new thing,
and then takes you to it, and then makes it happen. But
that's just some sort of random number generator.
But
or something.
No, you could actually make that. That's one of your jobs as you're getting driven back on your drone.
Yeah.
You know, it just asks you name a thing.
Right.
And then you name it, and that's somebody else's thing. Because our only value will be in creating new ideas, new word combinations, new things like that. And if it zaps you, if your thing isn't creative enough.
Yeah, all right. Slazenger Gravel Pit.
There you go.
Oh, all right.
Wait, is that with like a sort of a pit made of Slazenger clothing that's been shredded up into gravel? Like
yes.
Shredded up and compressed into gravel?
Yeah, yeah.
You could imagine that, though.
It's not actually a bad idea, right? Because you think about it. We walk.
Mm.
We have shoes on our feet.
Yeah.
Right? But what if we just made the pavement out of ground-up shoes?
Why don't they make the whole ground out of shoes?
Have we already said this on the show?
No, we did. Why don't you make the whole floor out of mop?
Yeah, okay, great.
And then everybody... But if we did that, then everybody could walk around barefoot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And how cool would you be?
Exactly.
You know, there's always cool people who are walking around barefoot, right? Mm-hmm. But we're scared to because we like our shoes because they make us comfy.
That's right.
And we're making a foot... By grinding up shoes, we're able to make a footpath out of shoes that are actually exactly as comfortable as the shoes, supportive to the heel, and you get all the benefits of barefoot running as well.
Here's the problem. Why do people not want to walk barefoot most of the time? Broken glass. But if we made glass bottles out of shoes
Shoes.
Or socks.
You see people drinking out of shoes all the time at like parties and stuff.
Why not start, you know, I think it's not that crazy if we were to just start wearing bottles on our feet.
Bottle foot. Great.
You know, because, I mean, we fix that by making the bottles shoes first and then they become your footwear. You know?
Yes.
And then once you've worn them for a bit, they just go into the ground.
Yes.
And they make up the roads and the footpaths.
Are they still sharp, shard-like in any way?
No. It's just
they're
a shoe.
Shoe-like.
They're shoes.
Yeah, great.
But the only reason why you're drinking out of a shoe is bad is because somebody's foot was in there.
Right.
Right?
But if it was...
But no one's ever said, oh, I'm not going to wear this shoe because it's had someone else's beverage in it.
We've just got the whole situation ass about.
Exactly.
Just flip that around, and you've got a perfectly ordinary sequence of events. And you know what I reckon? Also, a bit of alcohol in the shoe probably kill any tinea and that sort of thing.
That's really good. And irritate the skin.
You
know, but, I mean, you know, in beers and things like that, there's probably a lot of sort of living bacteria in there that we could cultivate. With our feet.
Beers?
You know, beers.
Yeah, okay.
Well, like beers made from...
Oh, now we're brewing in the... It's now a shoe brew.
Well, you were talking about alcohol.
Yeah, sure. But if you're cultivating the...
I'm just saying any dregs
bacteria,
of beer...
Yes.
...that might be left in the sort of the foot drink bottle.
Right, sure. Any frothy stuff that's down by the toe.
Yeah, that once you get your foot in there, you know, the warmth and the humidity may take those dregs and sort of help facilitate more bacterial growth.
And what's confusing me, Alistair, is the concept of helping, and who is it helping?
Well, it's helping the bacteria.
Sure.
Yeah.
That all?
Yeah, it's not helping us. Oh, I mean, unless we want bacteria. I mean,
well, see, that would be good, wouldn't it?
I think a proper engineer would find a way of integrating the waste products from the leftover liquid in the shoe and integrating that. Like, if you want to be a proper ecosystem designer.
Yes,
right?
Which I do.
You do. You've got to figure out what to do with the inside, those little dregs, the leftover Fanta that makes contact with the foot, the sort of the water or the oils, you know, all the bottles.
Is this a drink with oils in it?
Well, no, it could be, you know, a bottle of olive oil.
There aren't any oily drinks, by the way, are there? This is something.
Yeah.
This is interesting.
Oil-based drinks.
I mean, why not, right? We know that you can have oil.
Yeah.
Like olive oil.
Olive oil.
And we know you can drink other liquids.
Hmm.
And, you know, nobody does that. Nobody does a savory salad dressing and that sort of thing.
Oh, I drank some salad dressing from the bottom of my salad
And how was it?
I felt really good.
Yeah, great. Okay, so now imagine a good cup of that.
Yeah, a good...
Like, oh, a pint.
A French dressing drink. I think that is a perfectly good idea.
It's a tangy. You don't get any drinks with it, like, with that kind of tang.
No, because it's acid, right? It's just like white wine vinegar.
Yes.
It's Dijon mustard.
Yes, yes.
And it's olive oil. A little bit of salt. Right?
I think the savory drink. Cause
oh, absolutely. The oil-based drinks.
Oil-based savory drinks.
Yeah, because I find we have hardly any drinks that emulsify like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. You got to shake them up to get
You got to shake them up to make sure that the oil and the vinegar mix together and create... Like, what about like a mayonnaise-based drink?
The reason we put this on a salad is because that's the flavor we like.
Exactly. We're
like, I've got to try and trick myself into eating this salad somehow. I'll cover it in all these great flavors that I like. Listen, you don't have to have that salad. Just drink from the bottle. Drink the dressing.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The
salad. The dressing is the food.
Yeah. No, it's like, you know, if you looked at somebody, right, and you saw their cool clothes, right?
Yes.
That's the part that you like.
That's what you like. Spend time with the clothes.
Spend time with the clothes. Don't spend time with the person. The person is the lettuce. You want to spend time with the dressing. You know, that's like Fashion Week.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, guys, they want to date models. You know, girls, they want to date models.
No.
Right? No, what you like is you like that they're modeling, but the modeling isn't them. It's the clothes.
You want to roll around in a pile of clothes.
Exactly.
Say, go up to the Dolce and Gabbana, say, when you're done, mind if I roll around in the pile? I bet they've got one out the back.
Well, they've got to. And if
the
not...
The models are taking off those clothes so quickly to get on some other clothes,
exactly.
I bet there's a pile.
Yeah, and...
What does it cost? What do I have to pay to roll around in the pile?
Yeah, and if there wasn't a pile, there's so many assistants who could then reorganize the clothes into a pile.
Yeah. Surely.
Because one of these shows, it's just, you know, it's all assistants.
Mm-hmm.
It's an assistants-based industry. You know, these are all interns, people who are trying to climb the ladder.
Can I just turn this into some kind of a nest? Can I just squirrel in there?
Yeah.
And get a little, like a very hot fashion nest.
Well, I mean, a lot of these companies like Uniqlo and things like that.
No.
It's a lot of like, you know, it's quick.
Fast fashion.
Fast fashion.
Yep.
You know?
It's disgraceful.
Well, it's not disgraceful if you want them to take those clothes and turn them into a nest.
I think that's a lot of these fast fashion companies, and even some of the high-end fashion companies, are very uncomfortable about what happens to their leftover product, that they're worried about that if they donate it, it'll wind up being worn by homeless people and that sort of thing, and that it'll somehow damage their brand, right? But people don't have to wear it. They could just turn it into a nest.
That's right. You know, advanced forts.
Mm.
You know, these kinds of things, like, you know, sort of leftover designer furniture, right, and designer clothing. You stack the furniture, you drape the clothing over it, right? And this is an alternative to tiny houses, right? Because tiny houses, that's popular right now. They're almost saying, you know, it's an alternative to old folks' home. Just have a tiny house, put the old folks in there. Keep them away from those people who abuse you. But they just have a tiny house.
Right, so put them in your backyard or something and make them, they live with you.
I guess so.
I feel like this is probably what society needs to do.
I mean, look, we all just need to live with our old people.
I think it's good, probably.
Yeah, but there is a point that which, like, somebody takes your full attention and then you need to almost have, like, a proper carer's wage so that, because you can't work your job because somebody isn't.
Yeah, I suppose so. But then it's a complicated thing of, like, mathematically, how does that work as well? Because you don't want to be... just you as the only grandchild with the four grandparents or something living in your house.
Well, it depends. See, it depends whether or not you have the facilities, right? You need something that when people fall over, they won't get hurt. And,
yes.
But it's also a small enough place, that, you know, can fit in your backyard. And that's why we're talking about advanced forts here. It's... You know, that way you don't have the wrong kind of people wearing your clothing if you're, you know, a fashion designer.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down.
So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yes.
Or, you know, you don't have the wrong people sitting
call
on your...
Alistair, let's call them what they are. Undesirables.
The undesirables. That's right.
It's the technical term. It's the PC term.
Mm-hmm. You don't want your undesirables. You don't want your designables on undesirables.
What's great about the term undesirable,
yeah,
is that all the insulting, mm-hmm, happens in the mind of the observer. I can say undesirable, and then, yeah, you picture whatever you picture, Alistair.
That's true.
And then you're the one who's prejudiced.
Yeah, I'm a real animal.
Yeah.
Oh, you should have seen who I pictured.
I don't want to.
No,
I don't want to be a complicit in whatever you're doing.
Absolutely.
don't know if that's anything.
You don't think?
Well,
I mean,
I don't see a
the thing is
the
is
comic
that
structure that fits into.
Well, it's the okay. This is the comic structure, right?
Designers,
fast fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's, let's say, high fashion,
yes,
and high furniture,
high
and fast furniture and fashion.
Yep,
they have lots of leftover stuff that has to get thrown away.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want undesirables using it. Whoever you're picturing,
mm-hmm,
people need places to put their old folks. Right.
Great.
They use the stuff from the fashion and from the furniture industry, not for wearing or sitting on.
Great.
That is basically the contract you've made with these people, is,
yes,
that you're not allowed to use this as for its intended purpose.
Yes.
Right? And so then you get some builder to come in and sort of stack it all up.
Yeah.
Stack it all up, drape the clothing over the top.
Yep. I'm glad this is being done by a professional.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
get it all signed off.
We're putting some of the society's most vulnerable people inside these advanced forts, right? They make
and
a
the
sort
word "advanced" is very crucial as well. It's
absolutely
making it seem very advanced.
Okay, and I don't know. I think they make maybe a sort of igloo out of it. I think that's the easiest way to sort of stack furniture into sort of a 3D arc,
mm-hmm,
like that. So it just kind of piles up and holds down. You know, it's held together with like
you
a lot
stuff
of
stuff. The holes with some,
with
you know, some sarong.
Yeah,
or whatever.
And some chiffon.
Chiffon. Oh,
some
great
chiffon.
Word. Better
and,
than my sarong.
No, no. I mean, there's going to be. Yeah,
what kind of a catwalk do you get that has a sarong?
Andy, there are fashion shows all over the world. Some take part in the Pacific, and some take part in sort of in the continent.
And when they're in the Pacific, what are they wearing? Sarongs.
Sarongs. You know, and because every bit of fashion, you know, borrows stuff from the past. And some cultures are more sarong heavy than others. And so it's hard to borrow outside of the sarong.
What else is there? Sarongs are back. Another year, another sarong. Okay, Alistair,
the only thing is that with the old people, it's how do you get them in to that tiny door?
The fort.
Of the fort, because it's an igloo fort.
Yeah, right. What do you say? You tell them something, you saw a dog run it and crawl in there or something?
Well, that's great.
You play the sounds of a crying child and they respond to that almost instinctively?
Maybe. I was thinking, you know, those things that you slide under cars on.
Right, your wheel on it.
Yeah, you get them. You could just have one of those on their backs at all times.
At all times.
Yeah, and because what do old people do?
Sleep.
They fall over.
They fall over.
And so when they land on their back, they'll already be ready to just. You go, oh, Grandpa, it's time for bed, and you just slide them in the igloo.
I
like that.
I think the idea of once you get to a certain age, you just have to have a skateboard strapped to your back at all times. Makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Here's just a few of the reasons that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number one, you fall over, you are home alone. Yep. You can sort of scuttle like a little cockroach or something, or one of those water beetles, over to the telephone and call for help.
Yep.
Someone to get you up. Or someone else, you're there with just someone else, right? Mm. One person can't drag that person into bed or into the car to get to the hospital or into the shower to have a shower.
Yeah.
But you could just sort of wheel them and then hose them down under the shower and then slide them under the bed even, and then you've got more space, right? But also, then we could be constructing whole... We could be putting them into like a sort of a honeycomb arrangement.
That's true.
Right? Or like at a morgue. Really?
Yeah.
And then when they do die, yeah. You know how in the morgue they've
just
got those seal things
up,
they
you just
slide
seal up the
in.
Door.
Yeah.
You just seal up the hole. And then they just kind of like... We just have chemicals in there that allow it to just take its... You know, take like to... You know, just decomposition and stuff happens. And then... You know, 2 years later...
We hose it all out.
3 years later, you open it up and it'll just be compost in there.
Right.
And then you just take that and then you put it in a bag and then you sell it at like a hardware store.
Right. It's called Morganics.
Oh, Morganics. Andy, that's a really great idea.
Thanks.
And I guess in order to roll them into the honeycomb thing, you need a floor that goes up and down.
Yes.
You know, because, you know...
Some sort of ramp thing like they use to load sheep into the back of a truck.
No, well, I think that's good. But what if it's
Thank you.
I think, yeah. But it's like, it's just the whole floor. The whole floor
goes
up.
Well, it's starting to get a bit complicated again, Alistair.
Well, no, because it's just like people... So you're just making a thin building, right? It's a, like, it's like the length of two old people.
Right.
Head to toe. But the... So that... You know, when people come in, you just bring the floor all the way down, whatever, and then you, I guess you wheel them into the, you drag them into their combs.
Into this slot.
And then they go in there, and then, like, you know, they have a TV in there and stuff like that, and I guess just, like, on the roof of the cone of their like, pod. But within that TV is made out of chemicals that when you seal it up, it just turns into chemicals that falls on them and starts decomposing them and things like that.
I think that's great. I think we can definitely invent something as well that maybe even like when you start to tip over backwards, you're falling, right? Maybe this thing doesn't even let you fall all the way down to the ground. It has these legs that kind of unfold, right? Yeah. Somehow with gravity, they flick out like that, right? And the wheels are on the bottom of those, and you fall onto your back, and it goes like that, and you're already on a stretcher.
You got it, yeah. Oh, that's really
and
good.
And then the ambulance, the paramedics come along, so and then they just wheel you straight into the back of the ambulance or whatever.
That's it. That's perfect. I would love that now. But like when you say slicker, you mean that they kind of so the as you fall, the legs kind of tip downwards.
Yeah, and
then
out.
And they kind of like it's almost like they've got like a maybe would you say pneumatics in there? They kind of like
could be pneumatics,
soften.
Could be hydraulics. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean. Hydraulics would mean carrying around a fair bit of liquid weight around with you at all times.
Well, yeah, but I think these, like, they don't have to be big. We're not talking big pistons here. We're just talking small. Look, let's call it pneumatics with a hydraulic backup.
Okay, great. That's really good. And the hydraulics can be in the shoes,
right?
Which, you know, at least if you fall, I mean, like, if you're, it's the, you know, it's the safest place to keep it.
Now, we got nothing for when people fall forwards.
What about those legs
worst,
go forward
worst
as well?
Worst case scenario, they fall forwards. Then they're just trapped under a stretcher.
Hopefully they use their arms to stop them, to break their fall.
And push themselves back.
That's right.
Great.
Yeah, or if they start to fall forward, they go into a somersault.
Yes.
They've got to be, you know, they got to be on
they're pretty well trained. These are gymnasts.
Well, I think... We'll have to rebuild society in such a way that we teach tumbling from a very young age. Mm. You know, like some countries have military service.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll have acrobatics.
I feel like that they also pretty much have that in Russia and that sort of thing. Like you get them in.
You get them in.
Real early.
On the trampolines.
You got to do
stuff.
Your time on the tramps.
Yeah.
On the parallel bars.
You see, the time on the tramps, that's exactly what the designer fashion industry are trying to avoid with their clothes.
Yeah, time on the tramps. We've got, I thought we had five ideas.
Unless you count the, I could write down the one with the falling backwards thing, but I feel that's kind of part of the, I guess the honeycomb elderly
home. I think stretches on the backs of the elderly. is a totally separate idea to your advanced thought idea, Alistair. I don't think we can say that those two things are one and the same. I think that's real exciting. I had something else in there that piqued my curiosity. Was it Morganics? Was it associated with Morganics? Was it the morgue? No, can't remember. Anyway,
Feel really embarrassed that you forgot.
That's fine. Would you feel comfortable like eating an orange that had grown in compost made from a dead relative?
You bet.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think a tree is a perfect filtering system for getting any gross bits out.
I mean, it'd be suck if you found a thumb in there or something.
In your orange?
Yeah.
Like somehow, like imagine that happening. The thumb is like in the dirt.
Yeah.
Right?
It's going all the way
it's
up.
Not even it's not even a good looking thumb. No. Like this is, everything else is composted. Somehow the thumb is resisted, but it's not in great shape.
Yeah.
Right? It somehow, through like some freak occurrence, encounters, is gets pressed up against some mega sap vein, tree vein thing that somehow sucks it up full thumb.
Yeah.
Full
real
thumb.
Real fat vein there.
Real fat vein like that. And then all the way up through, goes through the stem of the like peach or whatever.
Yep.
And then just gets embedded in the peach. Like that next to the nut. And so your nut's being thumbed. You get someone's touched it with their dirty thumb.
Could you try and argue that? Say somebody finds a thumb in some food that you've prepared at your restaurant. Could you try and argue that maybe it was in there? It was already in the carrot when the carrot grew in the carrot. It didn't come from one of the people in the kitchen.
I think it would definitely help if you had some good photographic evidence showing that the
that was possible.
First of all, that it was possible, but also if you could find a way of showing that the thumb was inside some carrot rather than just next to the carrots that had been all diced up. Because how did you avoid dicing up? Like,
it was coincidence.
Are you serving full carrots?
Yes. It's like, not much of a restaurant. There's very few restaurants where you can serve a full carrot. Full carrot, full or like half a raw carrot was such a common side to dinners when I was growing up. And
really?
I love me a carrot.
Yeah, I love a carrot.
But, like, there would just be a bit of carrot on the plate.
But, like, you half a carrot.
Yeah, half a carrot.
Oh, you
slice down the middle because it's classy that way.
Yeah, but you can't serve that at a restaurant.
You can't do that in a restaurant. No. That crosses some kind of a line. Be great if there was... Because the way all the systems work in the environment, where everything gets recycled, the water cycle, the carbon cycle, all that kind of stuff.
Cycle.
Everything's just like little molecules. It'd be great if thumbs got recycled in some way. If there was some homeostatic system in the environment that allowed thumbs to, you know, fall to the earth off people and then sort of evaporate or whatever the thumb version of evaporating is.
Yeah.
And then, you know, go back into the cycle, back into the sky,
so just
and then
like,
eventually
they
wind
like,
up.
They sort of just thumb their way up a lamppost.
Yeah.
And they just kind of, you know, like one of those ones with the big glass bulb around the thing, and they all just sort of, they all just stick to the outside of the glass bulb until they crisp up or something like that from heat.
Yeah.
And then that outer crisp skin falls, and then you get a
new baby
fresh
thumb.
Baby thumb on the inside that comes out.
But then what would happen? The thumbs would have to wait until somebody who just cut their thumb off at a building site was running past with their outstretched hand, screaming on their, you know, trying to get to someone's attention. And then one of those thumbs would fall from the lamppost back onto the stump.
Yeah, well, imagine if that person was running around trying to get, and then in the back of their minds, they knew that
it's thumb season.
Yeah, well, the thumbs are now like aware of it. So now thumbs are starting, like they've picked up the scent of his bloody thumb stump.
And they're all trying to get on
and
there.
And now they're all chasing.
Because they're kind of hungry for it.
Yeah, because they want to. They want to get to that next part of the cycle.
Or
and
is
so,
it almost...
And so they're all coming out of the vents and everything like that.
Awful.
I know, just thumbs. Just like crawling like sort of those caterpillars that bend in half.
This is a really, really great idea, Alistair. Yeah. I love it. The idea that sort of thumbs never die.
Yeah.
Right? And because thumbs never die, there are more thumbs than there will ever be people because of all the people who are dead.
Yeah, all the
but
people.
Their thumbs live on. Mm. There's more thumbs than there'll ever be people to have thumbs. And the thumbs are so hungry to get back in. Yeah. You know, and as soon as somebody loses a thumb...
Well, I mean, the thumbs
could...
You can
hear the drumming of the thumbs as they start crawling through the air conditioning. And
you move into a new place and you're like, oh my God, I just found out this place has thumbs. Oh no. But the thing is that the thumbs could also, I mean, you know, depending on what species of thumb, there could be some thumbs that actually work towards helping people lose their thumbs.
Oh, it's in a malicious way?
Well, I mean, they need free thumb spots, and the only place where they are is on people's hands.
Is by, you know, the only way you can get ahead in this business.
Mm.
In the thumb, 1, 2, 3, 4, I declare a thumb war.
Yeah. You know, and there's a like the thing is that if a thumb does cut off your thumb,
yes,
like that, and then it attaches itself to your thumb, there's a part where you're angry with that thumb for cutting off your thumb, but you're also thankful because you really needed a thumb.
What know? About this? Okay, it's a seat. You wake up in the morning and you've got two thumbs.
Okay,
right. Just next to each other on your hand.
Oh, no.
And you don't know which one's the real thumb. And it's like those scenes in the movies.
Where you
like
got to shoot one off.
You got to shoot one thumb off.
And it's just, it just to your eye, you can't make
you can't
out.
Tell.
You can't figure it out. It's like, oh, they both look exactly like my thumb. And they all seem... Both seem perfectly attached.
Yeah, and I guess like, what would you do? Would you start to ask question? Like, you can't ask a thumb a question.
No. But you need to. I think you might be detectives or something like that, or you know, that you go see, or like
put it through some kind of test.
Yeah,
obviously the thumbprint, but I think they'd probably find a way to replicate
nature. Life finds a way.
Yeah. The alternative version of this, Alistair, is where. The relationship, there's almost a courtship between you and a new thumb. And that's I'm thinking nice. Here of like those tiny spiders, the peacock spiders, where the male spider flicks up his little colourful tail plumage and he dances around on a log to try and woo a female spider. But it's you there with a recently severed thumb in an industrial accident.
Yep.
And then a thumb sort of pops up on a log and does a little dance.
It like
and
flicks,
tries
a,
to get...
flicks a coin up in the air.
Does all its tricks.
Lights a Zippo lighter. Yeah.
Trying to get your attention, right? And you're like not so sure about the thumb.
Hails a ride on the freeway.
Yeah. Do you ever do that? Have you ever done that? That doesn't... You don't do that... Do you do that for taxis?
No, I've never done the thumbs up for
taxis. I just
do a taxi.
Full hand... just hand up
yeah,
for a
no,
taxi.
Yeah, no, but I have hitchhiked with a thumb.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you murdered horribly and dumped in a ditch?
No, but I did get picked up by a trucker once who told me about how he was just getting into doing sort of an escort service stuff and how you just put an ad in a newspaper and then, you know, you're saying that you're just there for a date, but then he said, oh... I said, so have you ever like had a sexual encounter with one of these ladies? And he said, oh, one girl asked to go down on me. And I said, did you let her? And he goes, yeah, I should have charged her more.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, what a conversation to have with a truck driver.
Well, yeah, I was going from
camp. I'm a truck driver, but I'm also, you know,
well, you know,
male escort on the side.
You work your way up to it. But he wasn't like a traditionally handsome man.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but you know,
an experimentally handsome man.
When you're going from Canberra to Sydney, you know, in a truck, at some point you get around to talking about whether or not you're an escort. Anyway, we've got a three words from a listener.
I just want to say, an experimentally handsome, experimental handsomeness is an interesting idea.
You want me to just write that down, or do you think we should go into it
far out? If I can get that written down off the back of just saying it's an interesting idea, honestly. But I think it's very possible to imagine experimental forms of handsomeness. You know, because very often people who have quite a striking face are handsome in some way.
Yeah.
But I'm picturing like a nose that's just like flat, like a knife blade, right, and real wide with like a big nostril at each end, like a jet engine.
I like that. Right?
Like you know, it's, you know, I'm talking like it's wider than your face.
Wow, right? Like a hammerhead kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, like that.
And the nostrils come out
horizontally, poking out sideways, right? And I'm picturing like if that was, you know, well formed, you know, and
well proportioned,
exactly, quite sleek and striking. I can imagine people finding that handsome.
Yeah,
you know, like because say the shape of a car is a thing that we can find beautiful.
Yeah.
But it's not something that we've evolved to appreciate. It's a thing that culturally we've sort of, that, you know, that we have been turned on to.
Yeah,
and made
absolutely.
To like through advertising.
I think it's like a, this could be presented through like a dating agency for the experimentally handsome.
Great.
And, you know, obviously experimentally handsome does not necessarily mean it's just men.
Not at all.
You know, but I think, you know, somebody, I mean, again, we're focusing a lot on noses.
Yeah.
But somebody who had sort of a nose that went from, you know, roughly where the eyebrows are down to where the nose normally ends.
Yeah, great.
But it was like a, more like a kind of like a knife blade.
I think, you know, mine was like a knife blade as well.
Yeah, but mine was like, you know, in another direction.
Great.
And
God, we're creative.
Yeah, and it cuts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's still just cartilage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just found a way. Nature finds a way to turn your nose into a knife like that. And you could do, you know, imagine that you're on a date with a lady, you go, more cheese. Like,
you plunge
your face down onto the board. Great. And then you scrape it up on the side of your nose and then you wipe it onto a cracker for them.
For the listener, Alistair is demonstrating all of this with quite sensual motions of his face. And I can really see this working. Yeah,
absolutely. I think a mouth that like, you know, like that opens up at the chin area.
Okay.
You know, like a real low mouth.
Well, it kind of feels like that's probably
how
where the mouth
should
be.
Feels like we've kind of got a muzzle,
but
instead we've got like our mouth in the middle of the muzzle and we've pointed our head down.
Yeah, but yeah, from the point of view of most eating tasks, having a mouth on sort of just like in the middle of a pretty flat section of face is not useful at all. You want the mouth on the end of something.
Yeah.
On the end of the chin. Like a dog has.
Yeah. Do you think that maybe we just have a dog head, but it is just pointed down?
And the mouth is in the wrong place.
Yeah, the mouth's in the wrong place.
It's probable.
I think that's what it is. We just have a misplaced
and
dog mouth.
And the nose is also in the wrong place.
Yeah, well, everything's been, is a bit skew-if.
Yeah, it's a skew-if dog face.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like...
Do you reckon science could prove that?
Well,
it would be amazing if we could prove that we have a skew-whiff dog face.
Yeah, I think, like, I mean, the eyes are roughly in the right place. They're pointed up.
I think that's the big clue.
Yeah.
That's the big clue that turns the scientists onto this in the first place. We noticed that the eyes were roughly in the same place as a dog.
Yeah, and so, but then
and
it's
that
just
got us thinking.
Mm.
And then they do some models and some look at some DNA and some graphing.
And so then what we would look like if we were sort of back to how we should normally
supposed to look. I think it's probably just our diet and that sort of thing that's driven us, you know, down this angle. But to be the basically the deformed freaks that we are today. Skew-whiff dog face. I think I might have to call the episode that. I love the phrase skew-whiff.
Yeah,
you brought that back up to me again recently, Alistair. Skew-whiff.
It's a necessary one. We've got three words from a Patreon supporter who's donated $3 to get the King's Ear, where you can suggest three words for.
You've tipped those words like poisoned droplets into our ear as we slept.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And those droplets have mixed with our earwax and dissolved it and cleaned out our ears like that.
Thank you. Now
we can hear better thanks to your
crystal. Hear better the words you're going to whisper to us now, like sweet nothings.
Well, these sketch ideas are from Brian and Laura.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we got a couple.
A twofer.
A twofer, yeah.
Oh, this is highly unorthodox. I don't know if I can accept it.
Well,
no, all right, I can.
No, thank God. Hello to Brian and Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Thanks for your pledge.
Thanks for the pledge. You're pledgeons.
They're... it's great, Andy.
Legendary.
Yeah, pledgendary. And you too can be pledgendary at patreon.com/twointank.
You could be pledge lords.
Pledge lords. Oh, we should do that. We should do it. Then there should be a price point.
Pledge Lords?
Yeah.
That'll be the next one. What'll it be? $13? Oh, and this is the one where we'll tell you where we live. Okay. We'll send you our actual address. $13, we'll send you our actual address.
I hope it's worth it.
Yeah, and pictures of my kids.
There you go.
Yeah, Pledge Lords. I'll dress my kids up as whatever you want and send you a photo.
Wow, but that's $13. Now suddenly you're going to need, like, costume money.
No, I didn't say it'd be good.
Okay. All right. So with paper or cardboard and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, here's the three words. Dirigible.
Dirigible, great word.
Yeah, I knew that you'd love that. That's why I paused for so long. This is a word that Andy was going to find it great.
I've already got something for that.
All right.
Dirigidige. The first Australian as...
Flying... Indigenous Australian musical instrument.
Yeah.
University. This is where they could design the dirigidige.
Mm.
And constable. And that's the guy who arrests you for flying an illegal flying.
Dirigible, university, constable.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it makes me think of these universities that aren't real universities, right? That, you know, are online and you can sign up and you get degrees or whatever from them. And I think that, you know, there's scope to have a to try and get around the crackdown on those things.
Yeah.
The fake degree, the degree mills, I think they call it. Diploma mill.
Yeah.
Where you start a university in a dirigible.
That's
great. In a hot air, what's the other word for them? Zodiac?
Blimp.
Blimp. Is it Zodiac? No. Zeppelin.
Zeppelin.
In a Zeppelin. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can fly that into university airspace, you fly that over Melbourne Uni,
sure.
Right? You technically have the same address as Melbourne Uni, right?
Yeah, right.
And you can use that as a loophole to allow you to print fake degrees from within the grounds of Melbourne University.
See, that's nice, yeah.
Or if not the grounds, then the airs.
And the person who runs it is a constable.
Or no, could be.
Look, and then you go, wait... I don't think that this is legal. And then he goes, it's okay, I'm a cop.
It's okay, I'm a constable.
I'm a constable. You know how cops can like go through red lights and things like that? We can also run fake universities up in dirigibles. As long as we fly them above university grounds. I mean, technically we can say it's Melbourne University if we fly it over the Melbourne University campus. You want a degree from Harvard? It's going to take an extra like 40,000.
6 to 8 weeks for me to get across the Atlantic.
Yeah, and you.
And this baby is not safe. I think your constable angle is great, Alistair. My constable angle is only slightly different in that this is somebody who is then in charge of trying to stop this.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
So they have some, like an aeroplane, a helicopter, or maybe a dirigible of their own
sure.
that they sort of fly into battle against these fake university dirigibles.
Maybe a hydrolite.
A hydrolite. Great. And then they might have to like board them.
Yeah.
You know, swing across.
I think there's plenty enough people at that school getting bored.
That's great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Get on board and get bored.
Yeah, I like this idea.
Bring down.
That I came up with.
Yeah, sure. I like it too.
Dirigible. Yeah, you know, and like there's a great shot when the constable successfully blows up one of these blimps and all the degree papers float down through the air and land on the quad. And all the students are grabbing them. They're so excited.
Oh.
So many degrees. They've got armfuls of degrees.
I'm going to go back to my hometown. Yeah. My parents
will
be so proud.
17 PhDs in aquaculture.
I'm going to call it dirigible tech.
Yeah, great.
You know, like MIT.
Oh, yeah. Tech. That's great.
Massachusetts Institution of Tech.
Institution of Tech.
Yeah.
Institute? Oh, the humanities. That's where they, all the degrees are falling down over the arts department.
Ha 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 ha.
so happy. Oh.
Well, let's wrap it up. Let's, we can't, you know, we cannot possibly continue. I think we've probably been going for about 2 hours. So.
Oh, 1 hour and 8 minutes. That's not too bad.
Oh, yeah. It's just half.
Take us through what we've come up with today, Alistair.
The orb that's everyone's lover, and it's the scandal that it's involved, that it gets involved in, that it's seeing one person in person.
We're all part of an orb G.
Orb G, yeah, that's right. Well, that's what it would have to be, because when they're playing that sex wall and, yeah, and having sex with everybody, trying to have like a sex moves that have such broad appeal to everyone.
Do you think they'd be a bit dumbed down? Do you think they'd be like the Big Bang Theory of...
Yeah.
Of sex?
Yeah,
that's
but...
That's fine, everyone can
but
enjoy
it'd be
it.
Enough that most people could have a really good time.
I think that really your lover is only responsible for bringing you probably 30% of the sexual experience.
Yeah,
right?
A lot
and
of
that's
it
up
is.
To a, some sort of a base level, and then the rest is on you.
Yeah.
You want to have a good time. You know,
oh, yeah, you got to be in it, into
yeah.
it. And you got to bring yourself to it, especially when you're sort of suction cupping your partner to the wall.
And I just want to... absolutely assure you that I am more than bringing my 30% to yeah, any relationship.
Then we have the government mandated new experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the oil based drinks.
This is going to be big.
Revolution.
Yeah,
you know, and which includes
I think
our
you
first
get them in a can like an oil can.
Yeah, great.
Great, because yeah. they're oil based.
Exactly. Yeah. Sort of like one of those ones you use to fill up your car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A small one of those.
Yeah, like a small
one. Like a little tiny little, oh, that'd be cute, a little
very
version.
Very cute. And you pull out the
like
little,
a two-stroke.
The little stem that comes
yeah,
out and you pour the,
drink on
the
that.
Oil down the stem.
You can glug it all down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it'd be great if they could make like a crude oil flavored drink.
And it's called Glug.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Grab a mug of Glug today. Hey, glug-a-lugs.
Yeah. Glug-a-lugs. Wait, when it's just whale oil?
Chug-a-glug.
Chug-a-glug.
Oh, whale oil. I wonder what that's like. What does it look like? It doesn't feel like you should be able to get oil out of a whale.
Well, it's all fat. It's mostly fat, right?
This is what I don't understand.
You just get it a bit warmer.
How does fat work? Does fat have, like, blood vessels and stuff inside it? Because don't they suck fat out of you in places and like squirt it into other places?
Mm.
And then how does the fat survive?
When I think you there's fat cells.
Sure, but they must be connected to some kind of like system to get them. Otherwise, the cells would just die, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
But then they can't just. There can't be capillaries. There must just be stuff just floating around in the body.
Mm.
That isn't in any blood or capillaries or whatever, but that is enough to sort of get some of your basic stuff keeping on going, like your fat cells.
I think it might be a good time to, you know, tonight, maybe everybody pinch your blubber and have a good think have about what you feel. You know? And we got the advanced forts for the elderly.
Yep.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's, I mean, that's helping a lot of waste product things.
So
and
much.
Including the elderly.
And yeah. And live under a pile of garbage.
Yeah, but isn't that garbage high-end?
It's high-end
it's
garbage.
It's high-end unwanted belongings.
Yeah. It's not garbage. It's high-end.
It's high-end.
It's worth thousands.
We're trying to
you
keep it up.
You should be thanking me, Grant.
If it was garbage, then undesirables would be wearing it.
Yeah, you're so lucky.
Then we got stretchers on the backs of the elderly, then with them also potentially living in a honeycomb elderly home.
We could definitely put some on the front and as well. You're right. Could be on the front and the back.
I mean, if
either way they fall.
If they were side, if they were on the side of your
God
body.
God forbid they fall side.
Well, you could maybe have one on your side that is ready. Like that same leg that swings forward or back if you fall back could also swing outwards.
It's true. We just get some sort of...
If you had a little one for your neck...
Yes.
Like that, stick out like that. You know, that could protect your neck. Your head from hitting the ground. That's all you need.
What about all old people have got a stick, two sticks that point out at all times to the side.
Mm.
That way if they fall sideways,
yep.
the stick will hit the ground and then they'll tip forwards or backwards.
Yeah.
Right? And then front and back... They've got the legs that flick out with the wheels on the end to make the trolleys.
Well, what about, you know, like those balloon, those, you know, so if somebody who does like animal balloons things like that.
Perfect, yeah.
You know, but you know, they make those round ones that go around your head that you wear like that. That feels like all old people could wear those, you know, wear a poodle on their head or a swan or whatever like that. And that's just, that's just backup in case the sticks don't work.
And also, stop them taking themselves so seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
Just wear your rooster hat.
Listen up.
Stop voting and wear your rooster hat.
Stop voting and wear your rooster hat. Then we got thumb cycles, and thumbs never die. Mm. I mean, that's probably one of the best sketch ideas we've ever come up
really
with.
I really do it.
Then we got the dating agency for the experimentally handsome.
Yes. You know? I think it's, yeah, you sign up if you're looking for something a bit different.
Yeah, and I mean, you could sign up if you want to look experimentally handsome and they could reshape you.
Hello. Yeah, because this is, it's done so well.
Mm.
There's no flaws in this.
No, no. If there were a flaw, then they wouldn't accept you as a client.
Exactly.
You know?
So you've already, got to be pretty good looking going in.
Well, you don't necessarily have to.
But then
to.
You've got to get yourself a cut above. You've got to want to stand out from the back because there's so many good looking people.
Like, you know, what about like, instead of like, you know, let's say you did have like a lot of extra skin or something like that on your face. And you
yeah.
know, so what they do is they pull that all back. And they sort of stick out like a big prong off the back of your head. They turn your whole back into a sail, like that. Right. You know,
and with all that extra skin.
Yeah, but you kind of look like a marlin.
Mm. You know? And that's a beautiful fish.
That's a very beautiful fish. I mean, if you were going to start a relationship, a loving relationship with a kind of fish,
marlin,
almost hands down.
Yeah.
Eh?
What's it? Axolotl hands down. I got little hands.
Because they got, and they put them on the ground. Yeah, that's good.
Oh boy, I need to go to the toilet.
Then we got skew-if dog face. That's,
skew-if dog face.
Yeah, that's when scientists realized that,
the human face is just a skew-if dog face.
It's just a skew-if dog face.
If we have to explain these sketches to you, that's your problem. You should know what it means.
Yeah, human faces are just a mistake of evolution where...
Caused by our different diet.
Yeah, like by a dog face gone wrong.
Yeah. Because we started to stand on our hind legs, and they are hind legs, it caused us to have to look down at things, and that changed the shape of our faces.
Mm-hmm.
If
mm-hmm.
you raised a person in the conditions that they used to live in before... You know, civilization.
Mm-hmm.
They look like exactly like a dog face. That explains the Egyptians.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what we were trying to do. And then we got the dirigible tech and the humanities. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. It's amazing that you do.
It is incredible. Please, you know, you can always look us up on Twitter. You know,
yeah, I just updated it so that the link on Twitter, which was pointed out to us by somebody, probably Daniel K. Actually, oh no, it was
Ostrich.
MinCorp Pixel Ostrich.
Yeah. Thank you.
Supported it, told us that we had the wrong link on our Twitter.
We're
for
a bunch
the last year and a half.
We're a bunch of idiots.
Now it goes to our Patreon. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And people who had said that the 100th episode wasn't working, I worked it out with the people from the
company. Head office.
Head office. There, it's working again. So if you want to listen to the 100th episode for the year, that goes for 11 hours.
Yep. Thanks for sorting that out, Alistair.
No problem. And you can support us on Patreon. There's
any luck with those t-shirts?
I still got to convert that file. Sorry.
From TIFF format to t-shirt format.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I think there's something in t-shirt format.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
And we...
We
love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.